Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
All right. So real quick, am I the only person that's walking around with a little extra kind of pep in my step? Because, guys, I think winter's finally over. Like, I think it's finally happened. It's May, by the way. It is May, and my wife and I went to the beach for the first time on Friday. And it's May. We usually go in February, but anyway, it's been a long, hard road for us in Myrtle Beach, but we'll get through it together. But we went to the beach. Actually, we went to the beach twice this weekend, which is fantastic. One with the kids, one without. I'll let you pick which one was better. But I was at the beach. I was watching probably something that's familiar for any parent who takes their kids to the beach. I was watching parents have to explain to their kids the concept of the current. Because kids don't pay attention. They just get in, and next thing you know, they're in Myrtle's Inlet. And it's like, bye! And they don't pay attention. They don't understand that once they get in the... Now, some days it's not bad, but other days, I mean, it's just flying. And so we had to teach our kids very early on that, you know, you have to keep looking at mom and dad, and it doesn't matter if you don't want to get out. If we say you have to get out of the water, you have to get out of the water. Because my kids, they would pout. They didn't want to get out of the water, or they would maybe think they could just swim against the current. They're like, we'll just swim the other way. Like, not going to work, dudes. And so eventually what we would do is we would either put something down a little further down the beach, or what I try to do with my kids is I actually make them walk up the beach. Whichever way the current's going, they walk up the beach, they get in, they play, and then when they get back to us, that's the sign. You got to get out of the water, and you got to walk back up the beach, and then you can get back in, you know, because, you know, we got to save you, and we got to make sure you're safe. And so we have to make them get out, because no matter how hard they try, no matter how hard they want, no matter how much they want to obey and they want to pay attention, it's not possible to stay where they need to stay without getting out of the water. You understand that? It's just not possible. And the reason I bring that up is because as we're wrapping up this series on what makes us happy, last week and this week, we're going to talk about steps to take. And the reason that we have steps to take is because sometimes in our life, the flow of sin, the flow of our nature is going to be pulling us in one direction. And we can't fight that pull from inside the water. And so the reason God gives us steps is so that we can systematically step out of the water, step out of the circumstances, step out of the pool, reposition ourselves so that we can stay exactly where he wants us to stay. And that's what I want to talk about today. So if you're a guest, if it's your first time, we are wrapping up this series today, and we have been asking a very simple question. We've been asking, what makes you happy? And the reason we've been asking this question is because however you answer that question is going to determine your life. Because whether you realize it or not, you are answering questions, you are making decisions, you are making value judgments, you are putting priorities in place based on what you think will make you happy. And so what we've been talking about for the last few weeks is that God has a very clear answer for what makes you happy, and it's this. It's the pursuit of holiness is the path to happiness. If you want a better life, pursue God. That's really what we've been talking about. Now, I don't know if you're a guest today, you don't understand quite what we mean by holiness, and I can't really go through everything today. So if at some point this week you kind of want to go back and catch up on what we've talked about, because again, this is the last week of this series, man, I encourage you, visit this website, go to wellspringchurch.tv/whatmakesyouhappy. We have all the content there, that way you can watch it, you can catch up. If you're watching online, you can catch up with it. Because make no mistake, we really do believe that the pursuit of holiness is the path to happiness, what we've been talking about for the last 4 weeks. And we've tried to kind of answer some questions, kind of do away with some myths, because a lot of people, when they hear holiness, they think rules, they think of a contract, they think all these things you have to do. And so week two, we talked about that very specifically, and here's what we discovered. We discovered that holiness isn't a pursuit of rules. It's the pursuit of a person. Holiness is not cold religion. Holiness is him having a relationship with the God of the universe through his son Jesus, where Jesus says, hey, don't worry, I'll hold your hand. I will walk through life with you. And the reason we want God to walk through life with us, the reason we want Jesus to walk through life with us, as we talked about week two, we have an enemy in our life who hates our guts, wants to destroy us, and he's constantly trying to trick us. He's trying to trap us into doing things we shouldn't do. He's trying to lure us away from God. And so what Jesus does is Jesus is our guide. And he says, hey, don't fall for that. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. This is going to be better. And so we picked up on that idea last week, and we tried to make it very simple and talk because for the first 2 weeks, we talked in big, broad terms. Last week, we talked about a very specific issue. We talked about money. And specifically, we talked about how we can be tricked into trusting in money, into believing in money, how we can get tricked into believing this lie that more money equals less worry. See, the danger of this is then you start doing things to try to get more money, and it's dangerous and doesn't work. But we do it because we think that less worry equals more happy, which is true. Less worry does equal more happy. But money's not the solution for that. More Jesus is the solution. And so last week, we talked about a step. Jesus gives us a step to take. It's called tithing. Don't worry, we talked about it last week. We're not talking about it again this week. You can take a deep sigh. Everybody can breathe. But it's a step that we take to reposition ourselves regularly to avoid the drift towards money. And so today what I want to talk about is the very same thing, and a step that we can take to avoid falling for this trap, for this trick, for this current, to avoid falling for the idea that selfishness satisfies. Now, we would never say selfishness satisfies. We never say that out loud because we've been taught selfishness is bad. But if you look at our lives, we certainly from time to time believe that selfishness satisfies. Otherwise, why do we do selfish things? Why do we take selfish steps? Why do we put ourselves first? It's because we think it satisfies. In that moment, we think this selfishness is valid. Now, it never works. We never celebrate selfishness on the back end. No one ever brags about being selfish. No one's ever like, man, I got to tell you about the selfish thing I did yesterday. It was the best. Like, I would never get up here and brag about my selfish behavior. Like, I would never brag to you about the fact that occasionally, and occasionally means all the time, when I'm watching television and my kids are loud while I'm trying to watch television, that I yell at my kids. I would never tell you that. It's true, but I would never tell you that happens because it's selfish. But I do it. And every time I do it, I regret it. And I'm like, why did I do that? It was because you thought it would work. And it didn't. I feel awful. And if you think that one was bad, I've got another one that's even worse. Because not only would I never brag about that, I would also never, ever brag, ever even want to talk in public. Why am I telling this story? I don't know. It's to help you, I guess. Sometimes, again, while I'm watching television, I believe television might be the problem. Again, while watching television, this usually happens after my lovely bride has prepared a delicious, nutritious, healthy, or amazing gourmet meal. And after dinner, I retire to the den to watch some television, and she stays in the kitchen to clean up. And occasionally, not all the time, occasionally, but most of the time, while she's cleaning, she'll start washing dishes, and she'll start banging pots and banging pans together. And it will become apparent to me that she is disturbing my television watching. And at that point, I have a decision to make. Be selfish or not be selfish. I usually choose selfish. I look at her, nay, glare at her, and turn the volume up on the television. I see I'm not alone. Now, we know when we're doing it, this is a bad idea. This doesn't work. But we do it because somewhere deep inside, we've convinced ourselves selfishness satisfies. This time, it's going to satisfy. But here's the reality. Selfishness doesn't satisfy. Selfishness sabotages everything. Nothing in your life has ever been made better by selfishness. So why do we continue to be selfish? It's because we were born that way. And because every person in our life is that way. And because every person in our culture is that way, and because the natural tendency in our life is to flow towards selfishness. So if we ever want to overcome it, if we want better, we have to begin by accepting the principle that Jesus has been trying to teach us this entire series. The principle that the pursuit of holiness is the path to happiness. And that has never been more true than when it comes to your selfishness and my selfishness. The pursuit of holiness is the path to happiness. And when it comes to your selfishness, there is a step you can take to solve it. I'll just think about that for a minute. Just think about that. What if you could really solve your selfishness? Not just mask it, not just hide it, but solve it. Shrink it. Still always be there, always an issue, but something that you can manage and typically overcome. And maybe you'll slip every now and again, but it becomes the exception, not the rule. Wouldn't you admit that your life would be better? Wouldn't you be happier if you really could find a solution to selfishness? I believe there is one. I believe God makes it very clear, and that's what I want to talk to you about today. And to do that, we're going to turn to a man named Paul. We turn to Paul a lot here at Wellspring. Paul wrote about half of what we call the New Testament. And specifically today, we're going to look at a letter Paul wrote to the church in Rome. Paul had never visited this church. Paul had heard about this church, but they needed instructions. They needed to know, really, how to be Christians. And so Paul writes this letter to the church in Rome. We believe when God was, when Paul was writing this letter, God was speaking through Paul. So we can read these letters and we know what God wants us to do in our life. And in this letter that Paul wrote to the church in Rome, I mean, it's the longest letter he writes. And literally chapters 1 through 11 tell the story of Jesus. Why he came, why we needed Jesus, how we were trapped in our sin. Jesus came to set us free. If we follow him, our life can be better. You know, he'll protect us. He'll keep us safe. All these amazing things. And then in the beginning of verse 12, Paul basically pivots and says, okay, in light of all these things being true, here's how you should live. And as he makes that pivot, he begins to describe for us not only the secret to happiness and the secret to following God with our lives, but specifically for us today, the secret to solving selfishness. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 12. If not, it's going to be up here on the screen. And again, if you grew up in church, you've probably heard these first two verses before. We talk about them a lot because they're really magnificent verses. But today we're going to start in verse 1 and 2, but then we're going to continue reading throughout the entire chapter because it's really the whole chapter that explains and fleshes out and reveals the step we need to take to solve selfishness. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Here's what Paul says. He says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." Now, Paul, here's what he's saying. Again, he's just described in chapters 1 through 11 all that God's done for us. You've probably heard me say it this way. The only reasonable, rational response to a God so loving that he would sacrifice his son, to a God so powerful that he can raise the dead, to a God who knows the future and has promised, "I want to give you the best life possible." If you believe those things to be true, the only reasonable, rational human response to that is, okay, you're in charge. Because you love me more than anyone else. You are more powerful than anyone else. You know more than anyone else. You say you want the best life for me, then I'm going to trust you above all else. You get to be in charge. When Paul says that's the reason, that's truly the way to worship him, worship is simply our response. And that's what he's saying. He's saying that is the only reasonable, rational response when you understand these truths about God. He said, just let him be in charge. Just let him be your God. Go all the way back to week one of this series where Jesus says, the first and greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with soul, and mind. Let him be in charge. That's what Paul's saying. It's the only reasonable, rational response. How do we do that? He keeps going. He says, so don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Don't do what your parents do. Don't do what your friends do. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. He said, hey, you understand God knows more than you. The only reasonable response is to say he's in charge. And so what that means, verse 2, that means don't look around and copy the way the world does it. Don't take your cues from culture. Take your cues from your Heavenly Father. And as you choose to listen to him, as you choose to follow him, he is going to change you from the inside out. He's going to change the way you think about things. He's going to change your desires. He's going to change your wishes. He's going to change your wants to be more aligned with what he wants for you. And oh, guess what? By the way, as that happens, you are going to find yourself more peaceful, more content, more satisfied, more joyful, and dare I say, happier. So because of all that God's done for you, just follow him. Just listen to him. Just obey him. Take your cues from him, and it'll change you from the inside out. Now, again, that's where most people stop with this passage. Maybe you've read it, but what Paul does next, to me, is explain how to do this. So let's keep going. Verse 3. Paul says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Isn't that what selfishness is? Isn't selfishness at its core, I'm better than everyone else. I'm more valuable than everyone else. At this time, at this place, my opinion matters more. My gifts matter more. My strengths matters more. My time matters more. You know how I know you know this is selfish? Because this is what drives you crazy when other people do it. You know, you have never gotten mad at yourself for tailgating someone else on the road because you got somewhere to be. But if someone is tailgating you, you're like, oh no, I'm going to drop down to 10 below, see what happens. Because at the core, selfishness is believing that we are better than someone else. I have a really, 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 really bad habit that my wife is trying to break from me because I feel this way. And when I fly, this comes out of me in ways nowhere else ever in life, particularly, you know, when the plane lands, when they go ding and everybody stands up, and what humans do is they wait their turn to go into the aisle and leave. That's what humans do. That's what Wellspringers do. That's what Jesus people do. Sometimes other people will be a few rows back and decide they need to get out of the plane before us. And what I will do, and my wife hates it, and I'm trying to break myself of it. If they do that, I don't even think about it. I will just say aloud, oh, I didn't realize you were more important than all the rest of us. And my wife will just go, oh no. And now what I've realized is I'm a bit of a big boy. And so when I feel it coming, I just put my leg out. I just stand up. And then I say, didn't realize you were more important than the rest of us. And my wife is like, your face is on a billboard. Your face is on a billboard. I'm like, I don't care. Again, I'm working on it, all right? But that is selfishness. And I'm being selfish in the moment because I don't want to get back. But that's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, hey, don't think of yourselves as better. Just don't do it. Don't think of yourselves as better than you really are. Don't overvalue yourselves. Don't allow yourselves to think that you deserve this, that you earned this, that this has been owed you. Don't let that selfishness have any place to find footing in your heart. And then Paul explains why. He says, hey, be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the measure, by the faith God has given us. He says, look, if you want to measure anything about yourself, measure what God has given you. Now, Paul's not really saying measure what God's given you. Paul's really just trying to take this whole idea off the table. He's saying the only thing in your life worth valuing, the only thing in your life worth getting excited about, worth saying you owe me this, the only thing of value about that are things that God himself has given to you. And why on earth would you measure what God has given you versus what God has given someone else? That's what Paul says next. Paul says, that doesn't even make sense. And you say, well, why not, Paul? And Paul explains. He says, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. He says, no. When you compare your strengths and your gifts to someone else's and you try to say you're better or they're worse or you have more value, it's like you don't understand the way God did it. God loves everyone. God created everyone. God gave everyone gifts, strengths, talents, and abilities. God wants everyone to work together to make the world better. And so there is no place, there is no footing for you to value yourselves over other people. And again, just to make sure you get what Paul's saying, he repeats himself. He says, look, it was in his grace, in God's grace, because of God's goodness, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things. Well, God has given us the gifts. Because again, that's the root of selfishness. That's how we begin to excuse selfishness. I'm not being selfish. I'm just smarter than they are, so they should listen to me. You know you've said it. I'm not being selfish. I've just worked harder than they do, and I deserve the rest more. That's what we do. And Paul's just trying to shatter that image, because remember how he started. Remember how Paul started. You have an all-loving, all-powerful God of the universe who wants to give you the best life possible. And so the only reasonable response is to surrender to him. But if you're going to do that, if you're going to surrender to him, you have to stop taking your cues from culture. You have to do what he says. You have to allow him to change you from the inside out. How are we going to do that, Paul? Well, first we're going to start with the number one problem you have. Don't think better of yourselves than you actually are. Don't be selfish. Quit taking credit for things God gave you. Quit blaming other people for not having things that God chose not to give them. That's not how it works. And when you feel yourself welling up, when you feel that desire, that tension, remember, you know what? God gave all of this to me. But see, Paul knows that that's not enough. He knows that that's not going to work for us. It's not enough to just say, hey, I know this. It's not enough to say, hey, I want this to change. Paul knows for us, if we actually want something to change, we need a step to take. We need something to do so that the change can begin to happen in our lives. And that's what Paul gives us next. He begins to give us a step to take to solve our selfishness. He says, so if God has given you the ability to prophesy, that just simply means to speak truth. If you feel like you can see truth more than other people, or if you feel like sometimes you'll be praying for someone and God will give you something to share with someone else, that's what he's saying. He's saying, hey, if you have that gift, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. He means if you have that gift, you do it to the best of your ability. And he keeps going. He says, if your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, then be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. See, here's what Paul's doing. He's trying to turn it on our head. He's trying to say, that thing that you think gives you value, that thing that makes you selfish, that thing, that ability, that trait that you think others should be coming to you and saying, oh, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us, that you think excuses your ability to mistreat other people, to be unkind to other people, that thing that you take credit for, and that you measure yourselves against other people and it allows you to be selfish. What Paul's saying is that very thing is the thing God gave you to help other people. And so every single time you feel that tug, every single time you feel that tension, every single time you feel yourself wanting to use it for a selfish reason, wanting to use it in a selfish way, wanting to lord it over other people, what Paul's saying is stop and serve. Fight the urge and help other people. Serve other people. Use whatever that is for their benefit, not your own. You say, well, Paul, why? Why would we do that? And Paul would say, well, because it's the key to everything. Because see, what Paul's trying to teach us is that service is the solution for selfishness. It's how we solve the problem. Every time the impulse wells up to be selfish, every time the impulse wells up to fight for us, what Paul is saying is, no, 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 no. Remember, in light of who God is and all he's done, let yourselves be a living and holy what? Sacrifice. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hey, it's not enough to know what to do. It's not enough to want to change. What Paul's saying is you want the benefit. You want the blessing. You want to be rid of selfishness. Serve other people. Don't just think about other people. Don't just pray for other people. Yes, it's good to pray for other people, but put it into action. Serve other people. And Paul doesn't just mean little ways. Paul now goes on this run, and he talks about all these different arenas of life, and everything he says is, anytime there's any tension, any moment where you could want to focus on self, where you could want to make it about me, Paul says, don't do it. Serve other people. Verse 9 is what he says. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. We live in the South. We know what it means to pretend to love others. Oh, hey, sweetie. Hey, sweetheart. Bye-bye. Then you walk away and you say mean things about him. And if you grew up Baptist like I do, you then say it's a prayer request at the end and everything's okay. Paul say, no, 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 no. Don't just pretend to love others. Don't just be nice on the surface. Really love them. Which isn't about emotion, it's about action. Serve them. Do what is best for them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Take delight in honoring each other, in celebrating each other, in championing each other's achievements and to make it about not yourself, but to make it about other people. What's he saying? He's saying service is a solution for selfishness. Take a step to serve other people. And Paul's not done. And you're like, Paul, I wish you'd be done. We all do. Because Paul just keeps going, but it's so good and it's so true and it's so right. Because he's not done. Here's what he says. He says, never be lazy, but work hard. And serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Look for ways to serve. Serve people when they are in need. Don't just say, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I wish I could help. No, help. That's what Paul's saying. He's saying, serve people. And not just people you like. Not just people that are nice to you. He keeps going. And he says, bless those people who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Remember, we don't take our cues from this world. We don't take our cues from society. We don't take our cues from culture. We take our cues from Christ. And what did Christ do on the cross? He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And what Paul is saying here is saying, hey, no, you don't just serve people that are nice to you. You serve the people that are persecuting you. You serve the people that are saying all kind of mean things about you, a lot about you, and got you in trouble at work. Serve them. Look for ways to help them. Look for ways to love them. And he keeps going. He says, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who are weep. Here's what that means. It means if you're at work and you're in a bad mood and somebody comes in a good mood, join them in their good mood. Don't be that person who's like, I ain't got time for this. Nobody needs your happiness today, Carl. Don't be that person. Nobody likes that person. Celebrate with them. Conversely, if you are in a good mood and Carl comes in all sad, don't be like, get over it, Carl. I don't know Carl, by the way. It's just a fun name. He said, hey, you be open to what you find yourself in. If your friend needs you to celebrate with them, you serve them and you celebrate with them. If your friend needs you to weep with them, you serve them and you weep with them. You seek to serve in that moment. You seek to be there for them in that moment. And what he would say is, and you watch as you do that, as God begins to change you from the inside out. It'll happen. But he's not done. He says, live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. I love that line so much. And don't think you know it all. Oh, I love Paul because I just get to quote him. And you can get mad at Paul and not me because Paul says it, not me. But think about that. Think about a life lived, really, where at your core you weren't too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people or some people, or we'll talk about what that means at a later date, but anybody right now you think's beneath you or beyond you. What if God could change you from the inside out enough to where you just saw them as people? People that needed Jesus, people for you to love, people for you to help, people for you to have hope in. See, I think that's why Paul says, and don't think you know it all, because one of the biggest places we think we know it all is when we label other people. And as we begin to learn, you know what? I don't know it all. I don't know their story. I don't know what made them think that. I don't know what made them feel that way. I don't know. But I know God loves them. And I know God loves me. And I know God wants us to have a connection in some way. And so, God, show me how to do that. Just keep reading. Then he says, never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Over and over and over again, Paul is saying that service is the solution for selfishness. Service is the solution for selfishness. Over and over and over, service is a solution. Service is a solution. Love people. Do something about it. Take a step. Take a step towards people, and that's going to solve the problem. Take a step towards people. Let me change you from the inside out. Take a step towards people. And I know what you're wondering. Why does the step matter so much? Because Paul's talked a lot about steps. He's given us a lot of things to do. And at some point you're like, Paul, but I thought this was about Jesus and prayer, and he was supposed to change me from the inside out. Why are you giving me so many things to do here? And he answers in verse 21. He says, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Don't let evil conquer you. You know what he's saying? He's saying, if you do nothing, you will be conquered by evil. Because evil is coming. Evil is moving. Evil is flowing. And it is a constant tension in your life. And if you try to defeat it standing still, if you try to defeat it doing nothing, it will not work. The only way to overcome that in your life is to choose to proactively do good. The only way to overcome the lie in our lives that selfishness satisfies, the only way to overcome that current that is flowing, that current that we all live in, that current that we are trapped in, that current that is pushing us towards sin, and that current that is pushing us towards death and pushing us towards destruction. How do you defeat a current? You don't defeat the current from within the current. You defeat the current by getting out of the current, getting back on the beach, and walking back up to where you're supposed to be. And that's what I think Paul is trying to teach us. That's why I think that service is the solution for selfishness. Because it is in those moments of service. It is those moments where we don't do what we want to do, or we don't do what society says to do, or we do what we know God says to do. What we're doing when we choose to serve someone else is we are stepping out of the water. We are stepping out of the current. We are getting back on the beach, and we are getting closer to who God wants us to be. We are repositioning ourselves. Now, we can't live there because we're called to live in the water. We're called to live with people. But just like last week with money, where God was like, look, this is a constant tension for your life. You're either going to trust money or you're going to trust me. So what I'm going to give you is a step. Every time you get money, here's a step to take. Give the first 10% back to me. It keeps your focus on me. What I believe God is saying today is he's saying, hey, look, you live in a current of selfishness. It is a constant flow towards me, towards self, towards what I want. And you can't defeat it from the inside. But what I've done for you, I've created some steps for you to take. I've created some weekly things for you to do. I think one of the reasons when God was creating this relationship with him, he gave us the Bible, he gave us prayer, he gave us the Holy Spirit. But then he also said, hey, by the way, don't forget, you need to gather together each week. Once a week, you need to come together, you need to sing songs, you need to pray, you need to be taught. Once a week, you need to step out of the current. You need to step out of the day-to-day pulling towards selfishness and pulling towards sin. You need to step out of it. You need to get back on the sand, and you need to reposition your souls. You need to reposition your hearts. That's what I want to do for you, is what God would say. Because I have work for you to do, and because I want to keep you safe. And I know how much you want to please me, God would say, and I know how hard you want to try, but you can't do it in the water. It just won't work. But if you step out regularly, and if you allow me to reposition your heart, reposition your soul, I can keep you where you need to be. And I can use you to do what you need to do. And that need is for God to use you to change the world. See, Paul's list wasn't aspirational. Paul really does want us to love people like that and to serve people like that and to believe people like that and to help people and to be Jesus' hands and feet out there. But it's hard out there. There's a current out there. There's a current that we're constantly fighting against out there. And so God in his infinite wisdom, when he created this place, not only did he create a place where we could come together, where we could gather, where we could step out of the current, where we could reposition our minds and reposition our hearts, he gave us a safe space to practice serving other people. Right here. Every week. And hundreds of people every week come to this place and they practice serving others. They serve in just about every capacity of our church. They get you onto the parking lot. They help park cars. They open the doors for you. They give you your coffee. They take care of your children. They help you find a seat. They reset the room. They participate on the stage. They participate in the back. We have people. Did you know we have people that come up here during the week and clean the building? Even the bathrooms? Every single week they do that. And to a person, here's what they would tell you. They love doing it because they know. I've never said it this way before, but now that they would all say, yes, that's what happens. Because every time I do it, I step outside of myself. I step outside of this current. I step out of the day-to-day selfishness that I'm in. And it's a chance for me to reconnect and to reposition myself with my Heavenly Father. And when I come here to this place on a Sunday morning, and when I use my gifts and my strengths and my talents, and I'm able to see God use it to change life, to change children's lives, to change adults' lives, when I see that, and when I use my gifts and strengths in here, it's easier for me to serve out there. Because this is practice. This is the safe space to get out of the water and reposition your soul. Because service is the solution for selfishness. And that's a lifetime of service. That is living our lives in service to other people, and that is a lifelong pursuit. But if you want to get better at it, if you want to experience what Paul talked about, of you not conforming to the pattern of this world, but him changing you from the inside out, changing the way you think, I believe it begins here. In this safe space that God has given us to practice service. to practice using our gifts and strengths and talents and abilities, not for our own benefit, but for the benefit of other people. So here's my challenge for you today. For many of you, you already serve. And you understand what I'm talking about. And to you today, I just want to encourage your service. I want to thank you for it. I want you to have a clear picture of what you're doing in this place when you use your gifts and strengths and talents. You are repositioning your lives. You are repositioning your hearts. And I want to encourage you. I know many days you do it and you're joyful about it. Sometimes I know you don't want to get out of the water. You're having fun in the water. Something's going on. And I want you to know it's still valuable to step out and to reposition yourselves. I made this confession last hour. Do you know there are sometimes, not often, but sometimes I don't feel like preaching. I don't. But I do it. And I've never once regretted it on the other side. Not once have I walked off and said, yeah, I wish I hadn't preached that. No, but because there is a promise and then there is a delivery when it comes to God. When you obey, when you take the step, he delivers every time. Every single time. So for those of you that do serve, thank you. See it for what it is. It is God repositioning your heart, repositioning your soul, and shrinking your selfishness, which is going to make your life better. And now for those of you who have not taken that step yet, I would encourage you to take that step today. In our lobby, when we dismiss, we have a group of leaders out there ready to discuss areas of service in our church. Places where you can use your gifts and strengths and skills and talents to serve God and to serve other people. Places where you can take steps to shrink the selfishness in your soul. I know for some of you, you're not going to go have a conversation. This is not what you're going to do. We've made it very easy. All you have to do, take out your cell phone. You can text SERVE to 57682. Just text the word SERVE to 57682. We will send you information. You can sign up that way. But seriously, why would you not do it? Why would you not at least try it? Just like last week, we did a 3-month tithe challenge. That's kind of what we do with serving. You don't sign up to serve forever. You sign up to serve for a couple of months and see if you like it. And if it doesn't work, we put you somewhere else. Because we're not about just trying to put people in spots. This is not who we are. We want to help people discover their God-given skills, strengths, talents, and abilities. Now, we want to position them so that they can begin to experience God and using them to change the world. Because once you begin to experience that, you never want to go back. And your selfishness begins to shrink. And your life will be better. Why? Because of what we've been saying for 4 weeks. What makes you happy? What is it? We know. It's the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of holiness is the path to happiness. It is. And you'll never understand it until you experience it. And that's why for the last 2 weeks we've tried to give you very clear steps to take. We could tell you all day long. I could tell my kids all day long, you need to get out of the water. But it's not until they get out and walk back up the beach that they understand the benefit of, yeah, you know what? I needed to do that. And you'll never be able to step out of the current of the belief that selfishness satisfies. You'll never be able to overcome the reality that selfishness sabotages until you embrace the truth and the step that service is the solution for selfishness. Service is the solution. So I'm going to pray. We're going to sing, and we're going to have some prayer team down front if you'd love to talk to some people or try to pray your way out of serving. But that is the step to take today. Have a conversation, fill out a connection card, take a step towards service, because service is the solution for selfishness. Let me pray. God, we love you so much. We thank you for Paul. We thank you for his clarity as he was sharing your truth. We thank you that we can read it and that we know what you want us to do. God, I just pray that you give us strength today, strength to take a step towards you, strength to take a step towards service, strength to take a step towards shrinking our selfishness. May we forget the lie that selfishness satisfies. May we live in the truth that selfishness sabotages. and maybe take your step to use our gifts for your glory and to help other people. And maybe walk that step as we pursue what is best for us and best for the world. See, in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.